Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, early in the book of Mark. It's from the second chapter, starting in verse 13, just reading a few verses through verse 17. This is likely a familiar story, something you've probably heard, particularly if you've been around church. If you haven't, that's okay. If this is new, I think you'll enjoy it. So let's listen in to an episode of Jesus' life through Mark's eyes, and let's seek to hear what God says to us through it. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake, and a large crowd came to him, and he began to teach. And as he walked along, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Jesus said, "Follow me." And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, might we hear that same call. And like Matthew called Levi, may we also be willing to get up and follow. In Christ we pray. Amen. So, you probably know this, possibly know this. This is the first Sunday of a season called Lent. Lent is the season that leads us to Easter, and the idea is that we in Lent take a journey to the cross. And so Michael and I, as we talked about a sermon series, which is kind of our typical thing for Lent, we try to find something that connects in a way that's thematic. We thought that this year we would take a look at some of the things that led Jesus to the cross. In other words, specifically, at some of the things that got Jesus in trouble, that angered people. What was it about Jesus? What did he do? What did he say? How is it that his life infuriated people to such an extent that they end up executing him? And we struggled a little bit with the name. We ended up on The Problem with Jesus. I actually wanted to call this series Jesus versus Religion, but that had some kind of negative connotations I wasn't comfortable with. But the fact is that nearly everybody Jesus fought with was a religious person. Jesus didn't argue with sinners. Jesus didn't argue with non-church people. In surveys they take about people's faith, The fastest growing category of religious preference in the United States over the last few years has been what they call the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, not Catholic nuns, not black robes and none, nobody, nothing. Jesus never got run out of town by a mob full of nuns. It was always the religious people. Specifically, most often, religious leaders. Jesus ticked them off constantly. So we start today with a theme that emerges early in the gospel. Who Jesus eats with. The problem with Jesus. He eats with sinners. And to really understand this, you have to get something of the setting of Jesus' day, kind of understand the who and what of what's happening in the text, what's involved here. So I'll go through this very quickly, and I'll try not to beat you up with information. The Pharisees are the most often named religious group in the Gospels. They're a sect of Judaism, and by Jesus' day, they had become the most common and the most powerful Jewish group. They existed to pave a path for people to be better Jews, to be more righteous, to do better in following God. They preserved and taught a way of life known as the Halakha. the way of walking, or what they called the right path. And that not only included specific laws out of the Old Testament, stuff you could open the Old Testament and read, it also included some traditions. It included some stuff passed down by the rabbis, how you wash your hands and what kind of food you eat that isn't specifically mentioned. We all know that there's stuff in our culture that isn't in the Bible. Well, they weighed in on those things, and as they did, they carried forth this big, weighty tradition of what people should and shouldn't do. And the idea was it would help people avoid doing the wrong thing. And those are the things that Jesus tends to fight with them over. Almost everything Jesus battles with the Pharisees on has to do with tradition and not the actual laws. The Pharisees spend a lot of time trying to do the right thing, trying to make others do the right thing. At best, this is genuine concern. They're good people. But at worst, there is an edge of self-righteousness in their teaching. The Pharisees are extremely concerned about good and bad, clean and unclean, what makes a person righteous and what keeps them righteous. And within Judaism in general, there's a lot of this. There's separation. There's avoidance. Sabbath laws, what you can do and what you can't do. Jewish diet, what you can eat and what you can't eat. And by Jesus' day, the Pharisees had applied some of that to people who you could socialize with and who you couldn't socialize with, who was good and who was not. And this is more than high school cliques. This isn't, you know, I saw the band person talking to the jocks. What are you doing? This is religious stuff. The idea was that interacting with sinners corrupted you, that you were affected by their sinfulness, and that good people would avoid bad people. And faithful people would avoid unfaithful people, especially, and if at all possible, during meals, because to sit with someone in Jesus' day is an obligation of relationship. It has a hospitality code, and you would never share a table with someone that was unrighteous if it could be avoided. So that's what sets the stage for the conflict, as we meet another character, the tax collector. And we might think we know the tax collector, and we probably know something of the tax collector, but the word tax in Greek is really better understood as toll, a toll collector. And they worked on roads. If you've ever driven a toll road, you've probably pulled up to a toll booth. In our story this morning, it says that Jesus found Matthew, called Levi, at his booth. He's a toll collector. He's sitting there beside the road, and as goods and products come down the road or as people travel, he gets to tax them. They're paying their tariffs. They're paying their tolls. They're paying customs. And if the tax collector wanted to, he could charge people for traveling. Now, this didn't go over well. Then, as now, people didn't love taxes, and they especially didn't love tax collectors, and there were two reasons for this. The first is that the tax collectors were generally Jewish people who were working with Roman people. They worked in the Roman government, and they had Roman authority, and the Jews hated that. And second, it was generally assumed, and often true, that if they kept it reasonable and didn't get too greedy, they could charge a little extra and pocket the difference. And this was a pretty common practice in Jesus' day. So tax collectors are almost universally despised and distrusted. Even Jesus, in one of his sermons, said, if you love people who love you, what good is that? Even the tax collectors do that. Tax collectors, like Gentiles, kind of fit in this biblical group labeled sinners. It's not always for what they had actually done, but kind of for who they are and what it was assumed that they did. So that's a lot of background, but now we re-enter the story. Jesus calls a tax collector to follow him. And the tax collector, to his credit, gets up and does it. And then the tax collector, so excited, like Zacchaeus, also a tax collector, but a chief tax collector, in this case, a person, Matthew, is probably a little further down the chain, but he opens his home. And who goes to a tax collector's house? Other tax collectors. Nobody else is going to be caught dead there. And Jesus, gaining the reputation early in the story as a religious leader, as a preacher, a healer, kind of traveling truth teller, maybe. Jesus is openly hanging out with people who are definitely not okay in the eyes of the religious. And the Pharisees are offended. How could this man be trusted if he doesn't even know enough to stay away from the tax collectors? And when they question him, Jesus says, not the healthy who need a doctor. This is an old proverb. This isn't new to Jesus. But this is, he says, I've not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Now, the Pharisees at this point don't know Jesus well enough to be offended by this statement, but they will later. One part of what Jesus is saying is, I care about the lost. I care about sinners. I care about people who others sometimes don't. But the other part of what Jesus is saying, if you read carefully and think about that, I can't help those who think they don't need it. I can't call the righteous because they don't think they need repentance. They don't think they're lost. They don't get it. They trust themselves, their traditions, their practices, this hierarchy they've created where they sit at the top. When you think in terms of good and bad and always put yourself as good, it is very unlikely that you're going to understand anything Jesus says or does. He eats with sinners. The first major thing that the Pharisees can't get about Jesus. He associates with people that they wouldn't. They shouldn't. People who are outside of God's laws. People who are outside of their circle. People who are outside of their concern. They'll point out how these people are wrong, how they're unrighteous, but they won't be seen with them. They'll point at them, but they won't eat with them. Jesus shows love to the people that they show judgment. In their eyes, no self-respecting, God-fearing Jew enters a tax collector's house, sits at his table, eats food that he probably bought with crooked money, and gathers with the only other people who will go to the sinner's house, other sinners. And maybe you kind of see how they get there, but they miss the point completely. Jesus says, how will they ever find a better path if someone doesn't show them? For Jesus, it's not about just being able to hang out there. It's about being able to show people something else. How will they ever know the love of God if God's people show them judgment instead? How can you be righteous if what that means is pointing out how others aren't righteous? Jesus rejects the righteous calling out sinners. Instead, wanting the righteous to call sinners to righteousness. So we start the season of Lent this year with a challenge to each of us. Not a comfortable one. Who's your tax collector? Who is it you wouldn't want to have dinner with? Who is it you wouldn't want the good people to see you hanging out with? Who offends us a little bit? Who do we assume is a sinner because we know they're wrong? And who do we, if we're honest, think a little less of than we think of ourselves? And who do we, even if not publicly, show judgment instead of love? Maybe said another way, if Jesus came to town, who would you be surprised to hear he had dinner with? Which house would it shock you that he visited? And you'd think, why on earth would Jesus be in that place? Doesn't he know those people? Doesn't he know what they are? Doesn't he know that they are fill in the blank with whatever label most offends you? See, the challenging thing about a text like this is you read it and you think it's not about you. You think it's about the Pharisees. A story showing us how other people act like hypocrites and judge others and get it wrong. How those people acted self-righteous and didn't understand Jesus. They don't get it. They're the ones who need a doctor. You read this text and you say, those idiots, they're the real sinners. And ironically, you end up labeling the people that Jesus criticized for labeling others. Ever notice how much easier it is to see the sins of other people? Crystal clear. So easy to see. It's true. And if we're going to be honest, we have to confess that Christianity and Christians have had plenty of Pharisee moments. There is a lot of legalism and a lot of judgment in our history. And occasionally in our own quest to be faithful, we've looked down on those who aren't. And sometimes, if we admit it, we've cared more about the label that a person wears than the person wearing it. And when we do that, when we care more about the sin than the sinner, we forget that we are the ones in danger of being on the wrong side. We are not the ones who are healthy and understand Jesus. We stand in line with those who need Jesus to heal us from our sins. Especially the ones we don't recognize or hide behind our self-righteousness. We begin Lent convinced and convicted that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And therefore we must admit that we count ourselves among them. And as those who follow Him, we are called to show love and not judgment. As Christians, to live past the labels that we could give people and show real love to real people with real stuff in their lives. Nowhere does Jesus say they aren't sinners. Jesus says sinners need Him the most. And as we seek to do that, we do so in the hope that as we show others love, we show them Christ, so that those who don't yet know Him might meet Him in those who do. Amen.